One of the most endearing and just enticing conservative libertarian type voices. Just love to talk to him. Just fast friends with him. Lowell Ponte is joining us. He is a former Reader's Digest editor. His articles have appeared all over major journals, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, other major publications. He's a co-author of Protecting Your Wealth in Today's America with Craig Smith, How You Invest Your Savings Requires New Thinking. We'll get into a little bit of that, but obviously current events and what have you. He's an expert. So glad to have him. Welcome back to the Power Hour, Lowell Ponte.
Well, bless your heart, Daniel. Thank you for inviting me back on here. And lots, heaven knows, lots to talk about. But
oh my
one
gosh.
Thing I should say before I forget, I have a column a week old now called Shooting Stars. An essential part of it is that we are now in the midst of the Perseid meteor showers. You know, when I was a little kid in our kitchen, my parents had up a clock, and next to the clock was a calendar. And so in my youthful head, I got this idea that a calendar is a timekeeping device. Only it keeps time in days and months rather than minutes and seconds. Well, lo and behold, that is not what a calendar is. A calendar is a map. It is a map of where our planet is in its annual orbit around the sun. And the place is called August 10th, 11th, and 12th. We happen to know each year that we will be splashing through a river of stardust left in space by an ancient comet. That's what causes up to a shooting star a minute during these three nights of the Perseids. So it's a display well worth seeing. It's what John Denver wrote about when he said, "I've seen it raining fire in the sky." That was when he witnessed the Perseids from up in the Rockies.
Very cool. Wow, we're getting a little bit of everything from
you.
Sure.
And the best, well, I mean, we could do an hour just on the Perseids and what they imply. But there too,
what do they imply? Quickly. What do they imply? Just quickly.
Well, the average shooting star you see is the size of a grain of sand, the density of cigarette ash, and yet it hits the atmosphere at 133,000 miles an hour. So wow. It glows rather brightly, only for a fraction of a second. But you can gather the stardust. Our planet gains about 100,000 or 100 million tons, pardon me, a year of that stardust. Not much, but so anyway, you can gather it by just putting up on your roof a bucket, piece of cheesecloth on top of the bucket, and leave it there a month. Go up, run a magnet over the cheesecloth, and you'll be amazed that little tiny magnetic bits of metal cling to your cheesecloth.
This is fascinating.
Or cling to the magnet. That is why that is actually collecting that stardust from burning up shooting stars hitting us all the time. So it's something you can have fun doing with your kids. And there are lots of tales as I talk about. Why, for example, do they believe you issue a wish or a prayer when you see a shooting star? Well, ancient peoples used to believe there was a kind of crystalline window between heaven and earth. And the only time you had a chance to get through that window was when they opened a door in it to send a shooting star, a messenger, down to earth. So for that brief, fleeting moment, you see a shooting star, you know a door is open in heaven, you fire a prayer right then, and it has its best chance of getting into heaven. That's where that idea came from. But heaven knows we need to be praying in this day and age. My God, look at what we're hit by. Among other things, red flags.
Now, well, where do you want to start? Because there's about four things. Do you want to start with the shooters? I know you wrote an article about these shooters being characterized as conservatives, but they're really left. Where do you want to start?
Well, any place is a good place. I mean, the point is the liberals like to blame both shooters on Donald Trump. But in fact, if you look closely at the shooter in Dayton, he was a classic leftist by any measure. I mean, he was a Satanist. He was a communist activist. He was a supporter of Antifa and actually put on the mask and went out with Antifa doing things. This guy was a far leftist whose only debate in his mind was, tonight I think I'm a socialist, tomorrow night I'll think I'm a communist. I mean, that's what he oscillated between. Oh, and he was a very strong supporter of Elizabeth Warren. And yet, what did Elizabeth Warren do when he killed some people? Oh, she immediately began fundraising based on his shooting.
Wow.
As if Trump was to blame. Now, the shooter in what's typical is leftists will say, well, you can't deny that the shooter in El Paso was a right-winger because he's a racist. Boys and girls, racism is not a right-wing philosophy. It's a left-wing philosophy.
Amen.
That's why National Socialist Adolf Hitler was such a fanatic racist. It is a collectivist view that means the individual is worth nothing, the collective is everything. And the collective, the left defines as your race, your class, your sexual identity, and so on. In other words, what box do you fit into? You are simply the intersection of the boxes you fit into. You don't exist as an individual. You have no value as an individual. You have only a value as someone serving your class or being a credit, as it were, to your race. That's important to the left. They expect you to vote against Donald Trump and for them because you're black or because you're some other characteristic that is supposedly owned by the left, but not because you're an individual who made a rational decision.
I got an important question here. That's a great description. I'm glad you clear. The leftist socialist agenda is racist. That's what racism is. That is fantastic.
But racism is not an individualist American point of view. It is a left-wing collectivist point of view. By the way, the radical environmentalism of the guy in El Paso is also a collectivist philosophy mainly held on the left.
I have an important question, very important. When this happened, and I went back and forth on some of the details of the shooting, are very suspicious, certainly. There's a lot of questions. You know, one, where's the video footage of Walmart? There's no cameras in Walmart all of a sudden? Give me a break. But even more than that, who changed his Facebook page? Because at one point on his Facebook page, he was all those things that you said, and it was very clear he was that. Then, after he was arrested, suddenly he became a Trump supporter. Who changed his Facebook page?
It is interesting. A lot of strange things have been happening. Jeffrey Epstein dying in prison. Who was the fellow during the Clinton administration who was put in prison? He was half of the Whitewater deal with the Clinton.
Oh, my gosh.
But you will remember, he was thrown in prison. He was supposed to meet the very next day with an investigator from the Star gathering.
Yeah, Ken Starr was investigating. Oh,
yeah.
You had to say something.
And was just about to question him, and suddenly, for no apparent reason, he was put into solitary confinement away from where anyone could hear him, and the next morning he was found dead of a heart attack. When he had no heart problems.
Is this comical at this point, or is it what we're doing? What does it say?
Oh, sure. They have an ad on TV now. They're showing that that woman who was the Surgeon General under the Clintons. What was her name? Jocelyn Elders, who was going to tell us all about the advantages of self-pleasuring. That was a major cause of hers. In any event, she was the one who cleaned up the 44 mysterious cases of Arkanside. Of people in Arkansas who were dead for one reason or another, all of whom had potential to be a witness of some kind against something evil the Clintons had done. One of them, she ruled, was a suicide because he had shot himself in the head not once, not twice, but five times. Do you know how hard it is to shoot yourself in the head five times?
I can only imagine, Lowell. I think it's a very good question. I think it's insane. Let me go deeper with what you're saying. I mean, does it come to a point? I think this is why Hillary Clinton lost the election. Because America, at some point, after 20 years of dealing with this and hearing this, it finally get through at least some part of our consciousness that these people are mass murdering lunatics that can't be trusted to watch your dog for a weekend. I mean, am I wrong?
No, these are total power junkies. They want to take control of the society, and that to them, that means they want to take control of the groups. Remember, you as an individual don't mean a damn thing to a leftist. They would just as soon see you dead if it advances their agenda. And as a result, you can't trust anything they do. This is one of the problems we have. We have a country with no trust at all left.
So what does this mean? What does this mean, Lowell? Where are we going? Are we going to a civil war? Because I've heard that from other people. Where is this going to end up?
Well, either that or we're going to have to wait for the millennial generation to die or become sane, one of the two. Remember, the millennials have sperm count lowered by 60%. A third of them are still living at home in the basement with mom and dad. They have a lowered IQ of about 4 to 6 points than previous generations. They are utterly hypnotized from playing video games and watching social media all the time, which means Rachel Maddow and the like. They are the most brainwashed generation in history by far. And they believe that anything is justified to get what they want. If they have to be violent, if, for example, to beat Donald Trump, Joaquin Castro has to release the names and addresses of all of Trump's donors in El Paso or in San Antonio, he will do so, even if some of them happen also to be his donors, ironically. By the way, that's an interesting duo we have running for president. Their mother, who never did marry their father, who was a Communist Party member, was co-founder of the La Raza Unida, the United Race Party. She is a racist, an extreme leftist. And here are these two young boys with radical leftist views. I mean, it's just rather peculiar.
You're talking about Castro. You're talking about Juan Castro.
We're talking about Joaquin Castro and his brother, the one who's running for president. Which one is that? The one who was born first by 1 minute, Julian. So he's 1 minute older than Joaquin. But
what does it say about America? Lowell, what does it say about America that we have an open, such a complete connection to communism, to social? I mean, my grandfather used to tell me, better dead than red, you know, meaning even socialist. It's better, you're better to be dead than to be a socialist. That's how serious this was and a danger and a threat to the American way of existence. Now we just openly cheer them and throw money at them and elect them to political office.
Well, nowadays, remember, we have a different kind of capitalism, at least in big business. Big corporate business is crony capitalism. It is government working hand in glove with government. You can flip a coin as to who actually is on top at a given moment. But a company like Facebook, a company like Google, do you really think they're a small free enterprise company? No. And this is what Warren has, in fact, tapped into. Elizabeth Warren will get up on the stage and say, I am pro-capitalist. And from her point of view, she's telling the truth. What she leaves out is she's not for free enterprise, laissez-faire capitalism. She is for French-style capitalism, in which the government is a business partner and is the senior partner in all relationships. It's a type of capitalism that basically is indistinguishable from fascism.
Well, I was just about to say, it sounds a lot like socialism or fascism to me, or democratic socialism.
Yeah, and those are really very small differences between the various progressive philosophies. I mean, how different really is Nazism from Stalinism? They're not different.
Nothing.
They all involve massive government control. And therefore, what we see when we look at capitalism today in these giant corporations, especially the multinationals whose only flag they salute is their own, those companies are not really capitalist by any standard. But for 200 years, they've had this idea that the world will be run by science and by an elite of people so much smarter than we are that we should bow down before them and obey. They want to get rid of God and replace it with heaven on earth, with a man-made heaven, a new Eden, where all will be distributed equally and everything will be fair. Of course, that's never actually worked. It's always been, see, it forgets that countries always have two coins of the realm. One coin is money, the other coin is power. In the Soviet Union, if you were the leader, you didn't necessarily have money, you didn't need it. Anything you wanted, you just snapped your finger and said, I want a corporate jet here in 1 hour. Or I want the chauffeur to drive me down to my Dhaka on the Black Sea, my giant mansion. So you had all the emoluments of power. In fact, this was written about by Milovan Gilas, who was chancellor of the exchequer to Tito in Yugoslavia. He wrote in 1957 a book called The New Class, in which he just said, communism said it was going to give us a classless society. It didn't. It just gave us a new aristocracy based on different factors, but it's exactly like the old aristocracy, only even more self-righteous and more arrogant than the old system was.
You mentioned a new man-made heaven kind of thing. You made me think of Elon Musk and syncing up our brains with computer chips that we're all going to be connected into this Borg and become part of this, I don't know, like you said, a computer version of heaven or whatever that is, some kind of Matrix-like situation. Does that,
well, there's another,
there's another
way to view it, too, and that is Woodrow Wilson. I mean, 100 years ago, this first Democrat progressive president actually said, we are now developing a superior system to the Constitution and so on. And when the time comes, we are just going to kick down the old walls and show you the new perfect society we are creating that is exactly like a perfectly working beehive. That's literally what he said. We will become like a beehive. And in a beehive, of course, there's one queen and everybody else is a serf. I mean, that's the point. Friedrich Hayek was right when he read The Road to Serfdom. We are headed very rapidly to feudalism again, to an utterly unified society in which the individual means nothing, the collective means everything, and the collective is run by this tiny little unelected elite of Obama judges, Obama bureaucrats, and, of course, the press, with all of its objectivity.
Let me ask you a little bit of a personal question. You know, you've rubbed elbows with some pretty prominent people, and especially in the publishing industry. Your wife is you're connected to people. The people that you know, are they aware of this? Do they see this? Are they on board with this? What's kind of your sense of your circles that you run in?
Oh, sure. It's just that they expect to be part of it. There are a lot of anti-Trump Republicans who think they will become part of the great leadership elite. In fact, they were perfectly happy being losers for 40, 50 years in Washington, as long as they were the leaders of the Republican Party, which meant they got to go to all the parties, they got to belong to all the golf clubs, and so on. They got to pretend that they were part of the leadership, too. And as long as they had power and wealth, they didn't care. It's kind of like that evil guy in the movie The Matrix, who says when he's about to betray the human society there to the computer overlords, you know, I just want to be reincarnated or recreated as somebody with a lot of wealth and power here on Earth.
An actor.
Yeah, because I've decided I know this steak I'm eating isn't really steak, but it tastes great. So I want in which I have all the superficial trappings of power, even though I really have no power. Remember, I said the coin of money and the coin of power. Which one is more? I mean, on the one hand, yes, there are people who can get on their bed with a giant pile of money and throw it in the air and say, look how rich I am. What does the government have by contrast? They have the printing press that makes the money. They can have all the money they want forever, and they're not subject to tax. That rich guy there with his mansion, if he doesn't pay his property tax for 2 or 3 years, guess what happens to his property? The ultimate property owner is only the government and nobody else.
Let's go backwards for a second. This is a great discussion, and every one of these things we could talk an hour easy. So we're kind of going on a little potpourri here. The shooter in Dayton and some of the other shooters, I don't know about the one in El Paso, but there's certainly, he wasn't a Trump supporter, conservative, certainly. He was a Satanist,
the one
in Dayton.
He thought of everything before Trump had, that Trump didn't teach him a thing. Now, mind you, he was a racist, but of course Trump is not a racist. That's the thing that's so strange. He may say that I want this Muslim woman to go back where she came from and fix it up. I may want this Latino to have to clear our border security before just walking into the United States. By the way, the term Latino or Hispanic is not a racial term. There are black-haired, black-eyed Hispanics, and there are blue-eyed, blonde-haired Hispanics. The same with a Muslim. Being a Muslim is not a racial category.
Thank you.
In fact, Malcolm X, when he finally decided to go on the Hajj to Mecca, which is underway right now, the annual pilgrimage to the holy shrines, he suddenly found himself sitting between two blonde-haired, blue-eyed Eastern European Muslims who had the same faith he did. And he suddenly realized, I've been fooled all this time into thinking it was racial. And it's not racial at all. I mean, yes, there is racism in America, whatever that may be, but You know, you can't define politics very easily by racism. And if you can, then how come only whites can be racists? How come all these other groups are entitled to be racist toward whites?
You're making way too much sense because they have the power, because it's a power mechanism, because they're using it as a ideological tool to claw power from the power they feel the power base is in the whites' hands right now.
Sure, and you see what you're talking about. You're talking about left-wing collectivism. In other words,
and power,
you,
not
you
money,
have the power, not because you're Mr. Brown in Ferguson. By the way, you may have noticed that both Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren are back to saying the policeman murdered the guy in Ferguson, even though all the witnesses, including the black ones who saw it happen, disagree.
Well, they were racist.
There was one person who was actually the partner of young Mr. Brown in robbing that store. He was videotaped robbing the store with Brown. And he's the only one who claimed that Brown said, had this hands up, don't shoot thing. Everyone else agreed the policeman was justified in his actions. But they are explaining racism again because they desperately need to get a solid black vote. And by solid, I mean more than 90%. Hillary only got 89% of the black vote, and she lost. I mean, that's how desperately they need minority vote blocks.
We have about 30 seconds till the break, till the music starts. On the other side, I was getting to about that shooter in Dayton. He's a Satanist. I mean, he says I'm a Satanist. He wants to rule with Lucifer. I mean, what is going on with Satanism? I was very shocked that my uncle was telling me a story about somebody he knew that their friends all got into Satanism. I'm like, really? So why is Satanism suddenly spreading all across America? We'll talk about that on the other side. We'll talk about red flag laws on the other side. We'll talk about China and the financial things, all this and more with Lowell Ponte on the other side. Lowell, what is it? How can we reach you? What would you like to promote?
Our latest book, Money, Morality, and the Machine, co-written my seventh book with Craig Smith. We give these away just to help enlighten people. You can get it not by paying $20 to Amazon, but just by calling 800-630-1492, like the Year Columbus Sale, the Ocean Blue. Get pencil and paper. We'll give the number on the other side.
There you go. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. More with Lowell Ponte.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio-Superfood. I've taken Bio-Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
If you're a new listener or you haven't ordered in quite a while, we got a special for you. We want to say thank you for listening to us. Welcome to the Power Hour, and also give you a discount on your first order. If you go online, thepowermall.com, at checkout in the coupon code, put FIRST10, F-I-R-S-T-1-0, FIRST, the number 10, you get a discount. Or if you call 877-817-9829, just tell Jay the same code, and you'll get a discount also. For everybody else, specials, all the detox cocktail, Sherry Rogers recommends, the phosphatidylcholine, which is so critical to your energy, to your DNA, to your mitochondria, alpha lipoic acid R, the grown by nature vitamin E, full spectrum vitamin E, extremely important, on sale, 10% off Strauss Heart Drops. Wayne Elliott's going to come in for an interview this week. We're excited. Auto ship is available for that. You can lock in the price, lock in free shipping, and also on REM sleep. Very cool. Helon and lamb cream, one of those things is just great to have. Cuts, burns, all sorts of things. It's unbelievable what people have used this for and the relief that they have found. Almost miraculous. I mean, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, but that's what's happened. I mean, that's the testimonies we've seen over the years by Helon and lamb cream. Iron Earth, of course, 10% off. All this and more over at the Power Mall. Oh, if you do want to hear an interview about the Helon lamb, Ron Sally was at the end of last week, so you can check that interview out. Or you can search on the website, The Power Hour, Ron Sally. You'll see the interview, and then you can listen if you want to learn for yourself what people have experienced. So thank you so much for your support and purchases, your prayers, what have you. It allows us to bring somebody the quality of Lowell here to you. ThePowerMall.com, ThePowerMall.com. Thank you for your support. Buy from the good guys. Every purchase you make, it's not just empowering your family, it's allowing this show and this independent voice to go all across not only the country, the world with shortwave. Think about that. Think about buy from the good guys, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. Getting back to Lowell. Lowell, talk about your book again real quickly, and let's give out that phone number one more time so people can get a free copy of your book. I encourage everybody to take advantage of this.
Oh, sure. This is our seventh book. Craig Smith, by the way, you see every week on with Neil Cavuto on Fox Business. This book is called Money, Morality, and the Machine, You can pay $20, as I say, to Jeff Bezos and Amazon for it, or you can get it absolutely free and postpaid. It will not cost you a penny just by calling 800-630-1492, like the Air Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's 800-630-1492. I apologize. I know Columbus is politically incorrect. This is almost every white settler. You know, it's interesting because if they really want to say that we must tear down the statue and deny all honor to anyone who owned slaves like George Washington or Thomas Jefferson, then let's go after all the slave owners in history, starting with the Greek philosopher Plato, the founding father of socialism, in his work, The Republic. Let us go down the list. For example, yes, Robert E. Lee was a slave owner, but so was Ulysses S. Grant.
Yes, Robert E. Lee freed his slaves before Ulysses S. Grant did, by the way.
Yes, but why get into all these little complex? Well, we could go down a long list of historic figures who have owned slaves, but what I find particularly endearing, yes, Moctezuma II of the Aztecs owned many slaves, but so did we can now just remember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, to remember the name Cortez. He may be descended from a conquistador, who knows. He owned slaves as well. Atahualpa, the Inca leader, owned slaves, but so did Pizarro, who conquered him, and so on.
Well,
so there's lots of contamination.
This is such a ridiculous issue. It's such a ridiculous issue.
The really interesting slave owner, and I think to anyone out there who believes in doing away with the evil memory of slavery, hence the lack of ability to think about it, consider this. Major slave owner in history, the Prophet Muhammad of Islam.
That's a great point. I have two thoughts on this.
Are we going to eliminate that? By the way, this is an important factor to eliminate because the average African-American is descended not from someone who enslaved their, or they did not come from white people who enslaved their ancestors. The whites merely went to West Africa to the slave trading posts and bought Africans who had already been made into slaves by their fellow Africans. And who were most of the enslaver Africans, the slave merchants there? Oh, they were Muslims. In other words, you who wanted to join the movement of the Nation of Islam, understand you are honoring the people who actually enslaved your ancestors.
Ooh, I don't like this issue talking about in this framework. Like many people, you know, they're tearing down these statues. One, it becomes a black-white issue. Slavery is not a black-white issue. There's been slaves of all colors. If you want, the Bible is full of
the word slave comes from the word Slav.
That's right.
The original slaves were white.
That's right. If you're going to do that, get rid of the Bible because it talks about the slaves in Egypt. And the other issue is that anybody wants to complain about slavery and reparations, if you want to do something about slavery, if you really want to do something about slavery, there is plenty of opportunity in Africa right now to go stop slavery because it is still an institution in Africa right now. Go have at it. Quit lecturing me.
I'd have one quibble with you, Daniel. And that is, if we open our Bible and we learn that the Jewish people were held as slaves in Egypt, the people who were holding them as slaves were black pharaohs. In other words, if we're going to do reparations, let's start by having the descendants of those black pharaohs, who are presumably part of black Africa, let's have African Americans pay the Jewish Americans, with compound interest of at least 3,000 years, at least $500 trillion in reparations.
Yeah.
So when they've paid reparations to the Jews for enslaving the Jews in Egypt, then we'll talk about paying them. Actually, reparations, I think, are entirely fair as long as they're done by the one legal model we have. And that legal model was reparations paid to the Japanese Americans who were interned at Manzanar, who received, an average of $25,000. But there was a special provision attached to that, and that is that was not their children or grandchildren who could receive the money. Only if you were actually one of those interred in Manzanar or other camps could you get the reparation. In other words, any African-American who can show that he or she was held in the United States legally as a slave, not your children, not your grandchildren, but you, then I think those people should be paid reparations.
Great point. Fantastic point. I don't know how to segue this, but we're going to try to segue from that. That's great exposition on that
subject.
Where
do you want to go? And I'll work out a segue.
I bet you will. You are good, buddy. You are good. I do want to talk about red flag laws. I'm going to wait on that. I want to talk about this negative yield curve, China. You know, you've written financial books with Craig Smith. I think this is important because it's all going on at the same time, but it's getting totally swept under the rug. We're seeing countries having inverse yield curves on the 10 and 30 year bonds. We're seeing it in is it Denmark right now? We did the story yesterday on the news.
Denmark, they have just begun paying you money to take out a house loan.
Yes, 0% on a 20-year mortgage, and you can even get negative interest rates on your mortgage in Denmark right now. I mean, these things are flashing danger, 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 but yet all we're talking about is some Satanists shooting up places.
Yeah, by the way, just parenthetically, in Denmark, the retired now prime minister gave a speech addressed to Bernie Sanders. And he said, Mr. Sanders, please stop calling Denmark a socialist country. We are not socialist. We have freer trade laws than you do. We love capitalists. We are not trying to have the government own the means of production of anything here. We do have a lush welfare state and high taxes, but we are not a socialist state. So please make that distinction. Nobody in the left-wing media here seems to want to quote the Prime Minister of Denmark telling Bernie Sanders the Scandinavian nations are not socialist. They did just elect a social democratic government, but they did it for a simple reason. The social democratic government overthrew everything it had stood for up till then and declared that it was going to stop immigration by all these Muslims into Denmark. And lo and behold, they won on that platform. They won by utterly changing their beliefs. Well, I suppose if the Democratic Party would be willing to do that, they could win too.
Wow.
But I don't think they'll do it because they are a racial identity party, and therefore they really can't afford to do it. I mean, it's so strange. Think of the average African-American to begin with. If they wake up for even a moment and look in the mirror and say, I've been tricked and hypnotized into voting for the political party of the slave owners, of the Ku Klux Klan, of mass lynching and nighttime terror, of Jim Crow and Bull Connor, the party that interned the Japanese Americans in Manzanar, the party that under Woodrow Wilson took the Federal Civil Service, which had been racially integrated under Republican government, and was resegregated by a Ku Klux Klan praising Woodrow Wilson, why the hell am I stupid enough to vote for the party of the slave owners instead of the party of the great emancipator? I mean, that is one of the great political con games that's ever been played in the world, in history, getting you to vote for your absolute enemy, a party that is still devoted entirely to using race as a way of dividing and conquering and driving wedges between people in order to gain political power. I mean, Hispanics are beginning to wake up to that and realize the Democrats, you know, Barack Obama and the Democrats have one really good quality, and that is most people will hate or devastate their enemy, but they'll be good to their friends. The Democratic Party, by contrast, is an equal opportunity betrayer. They will betray anyone. They betrayed the blacks after decades of being supported by them in order to flood the country with low-wage Hispanics that destroyed the black income base. They are now betraying Hispanics, or at least Hispanic males in this country. They will eventually betray whoever they need to gain power.
Let me pause you right here. I'm going to agree with everything you just said. I agree with everything you just said pretty much 100%, maybe slight variations, but pretty much I agree with everything you said. One thing I detest the Republican Party even more because I know what the Republicans or the Democrats, they, you know what they are. But the Republican leadership, they lay back like snakes in the grass and then are going to get red flag laws pushed and things like that through. I detest Mitt Romney and the Republican leadership that is involved with this red flag. There's a good segue to red flag laws. Let's talk about red flag laws and the Republicans about the sellout, the Constitution, and our unalienable rights granted to us by our forefathers or protected by our forefathers here. That makes me madder than anything that the Democrats do. Your feelings on that?
It could be worse. You could live in California, as I do. I mean, the way gun laws work in California is if you feel a need to go to a mental health professional and acquire any kind of assistance, maybe you have a compulsive disorder, you know, obsessive compulsive disorder, you put everything on your desk very symmetrically next to the edge of the desk, and you feel bad about that, you go to a mental health professional. Within 48 hours, you will hear a knock on your door. And it will be the California authorities who have identified that you went to a mental health professional coming to demand your guns. But that is all they need to confiscate. That's what the red flag laws are like. You know, if you, when you were 8 years old, were given Ritalin, which you knew nothing about because you were kind of a hyperactive male, and this was considered terrible, when you're 50 and you apply to buy a gun, they will very soon tell you that under the red flag and other laws, well, you once needed psychiatric medication. Therefore, we are not going to sell you a gun 40 years later.
Okay, what you just said is one of the most scary things. It's way more scary to me than the Democratic Party. You're talking about...
Oh, there are thousands of scary... If I could tell you one-tenth of what I know, you would not sleep again in your lifetime.
Well, believe me, I know. Believe me. I know. I'm trying to get this across to our audience. I'm trying to get this across to our audience. The most important thing, the most important thing about this country is the ideal of it, the ideology of the genesis of this country. The only thing that's unique about America, really unique, is the Declaration of Independence, that our rights come from God, they're unalienable, that they can't be violated by the government without penalty. I mean, that is it. When you are now saying that basically people are acting at the whim of privilege, when specifically a gun historically has meant power, has meant sovereignty, has meant freedom, has meant individuality, has meant all those things, and this is at the heart of not only all of that, but the heart of Thomas Jefferson, of George Washington, of Patrick Henry, of the whole thing, and now we have Republican leadership, Trump included, talking about these red flag laws. I am so upset about this, and this is the number one issue right now to me because of everything it encompasses.
Oh, sure. By the way, lest we forget in American history, the shot heard around the world at Lexington and Concord, that was British troops marching 25 miles inland from Boston precisely to confiscate the stores of gunpowder and shot that were held by the colonists. That was their target. And to this day, the Democrats are obsessed with disarming the people. Now, why would you care about disarming law-abiding people? Very simple, as you said, guns are power. As Chairman Mao said, political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. It does. Those who have guns will be free, and those who are stripped of their ability to have guns, they are victims. They are changed from citizens into subjects.
What? Okay, let's get right to the chase, Lowell. Why is Trump touting these red flag laws? Is this politics? Is he playing politics?
Because he wants to be able to say that he did do something. Yeah, I think it's tawdry politics. But if you think about these laws, they're utterly terrifying. I mean, who decides what is a red flag? Is wearing a red MAGA hat a red flag? And by the way, Antifa is now arming frantically fast. They are literally turning into a miniature army in the United States, like Hitler's shock troops. And we are sitting by... letting them arm while law-abiding Americans are disarmed. I mean, it's horrifying. But again, they can say anything. I mean, look at what the laws do. Evidence against you can come from a disgruntled ex-spouse, a neighbor, a coworker, anyone else with a grudge against you. If Rand Paul's neighbor, who broke some of his ribs in attacking him really wanted to be vicious in a red flag world, he'd simply say, I heard Ron Paul, senator from Kentucky, say some things that I thought were violent and made me afraid. Therefore, take away his guns. And by the way, if your gun is taken away under a red flag law, you supposedly get it back in 364 days, say in Colorado, but you have to prove, you have to exonerate, as it were, yourself, prove your innocence before your gun can be returned.
But Lo, I completely agree with all these details. I hate, I'm not trying to be short with you. I'm so over the moon, excited in a real concerned way about this topic. Let's get right to the point about this. Are they going to pass red flag laws? If they do, what should America do? How should we respond? I mean, how should somebody listening to this show respond if they get a knock on the door and they say, well, your neighbor said that you yelled, you need to give me your guns. I mean, should this be 1775 all over again? What? How should we respond?
Wow, that's an interesting question. The challenge is, for example, there was a fellow in, was it Maryland? A few days
Gary
ago.
Gary Willis, he's a hero.
Where he got a knock on the door at 5:30 in the morning. He came to the door carrying a gun. He saw that it was a law enforcement officer. He set the gun down. The law enforcement officer said, I've come to take your gun. And he started to pick the gun up again. They shot him dead. I mean, think about that. The government is quite capable of that. Oh, in California, it's even worse. Many years ago, there was a case where...
I got to stop you. Out of all the things we've talked about today, that is the most scary thing, what you just described. It's not even close. None of this is even close to what you just described to me, and on the level of scary and upsetting and damaging and universally harming and our whole there is nothing bigger. The biggest story in the world to me is the idea that Donald Trump, who sit here and claim to be for our guns, for the Second Amendment protection, is now even contemplating something like this. Of all the world, that there was actually a country where people could arm themselves and be sovereign under God. And now we are challenging this? This is the most scary thing in the world to me.
Well, look on the
tell
right
me where
side.
I'm wrong.
At least he was nominally dealing with human beings. In 10 years, it will be a law enforcement robot that comes to your front door and demands.
Okay, so what are you saying, Lo? Are you saying if they come to the door, are they saying if they come to take our guns, it's time to use our guns? I mean, there's nothing more un-American.
Well, it is a tough situation. What you have to try to do, I suppose, if Trump supports red flag laws, is in your state, and you are in a comparatively sane state next to California, just make the laws as tight as possible. Make them as clearly defined. Make them spell out in advance what is a violation, how it must meet the same tests as a jury trial.
I'm going to stop you again. The law is already clear. The Bill of Rights is so simple and so clear on this issue. It couldn't be.
Bill of Rights.
Exactly. What's more laws going to do? I'm not yelling at you. I guess I am yelling at you, but I'm not. I'm just very excited about this subject. This is such this is such a Rubicon here.
It really is. It is a devastating idea. And in California, what they did a few years ago, in California, they were allowing property seizure of
criminals. Oh, my God.
Now, there was therefore a group of police who knocked on the door of someone in the middle of the night. He came out carrying a gun ready to defend himself, thinking it was robbers of some kind who were in his house.
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
It was a group of police. He was gunned down. And then when certain investigators later went back and looked at the police documents planning the arrest, they had already planned that this would be a great pretext for seizing his property and what they were going to do with the property after they seized it. The police had already written this out. It was a pure theft motive by the police. I mean, the evil that the state is now capable of in a place like California is beyond imagining to our founding fathers, all of whom agreed that basically everyone needed to have a right to keep and bear arms, if only as a way to keep the state in check. The bigger the government gets, the smaller the individual gets, and vice versa. And so we have to be the biggest individuals we can. But we have a society where half the people don't pay taxes. Half the people are stoned on something all the time, or are heavily mentally influenced or debased by watching video or watching social media all the time. Their brain is a jumble, and they believe whatever they're told on the mainstream media, which, as you know, is absurd. So
it has been for a long time,
by the way.
We got about a minute and a half, and unfortunately, I agree with pretty much with what you just said.
Let me give the phone number again, then.
Yes.
Yeah, so if people want to get the free book, the phone number is 800-630-1492. We'll pay the postage and everything. It will not cost you a penny. But the book is Money, Morality, and the Machine, and we'll throw in this white paper that you mentioned on how you have to rethink investment. It used to be easy when we had two political parties, both of which were basically capitalist. Now we have one socialist party that's ready to confiscate everything you have. And as a result, your investment thinking has to completely be reoriented by that, because any given election could be like playing Russian roulette and could mean the economic death of the Republic. 1-800-630-1492.
800-630-1492. Please give a call to Lowell as people get a book. Quickly, 10 seconds. What's one thing people should consider now to protect themselves that maybe they're not considering? 10 seconds.
Get out of paper money, because the government's about to print a heck of a lot of it.
There you go. Lowell, I'm sorry to go postal on you today. This thing is so, I'm so upset everybody's just taking this lying down, this red flag laws. This is the most important story. Not Jeffrey Epstein, not some pervert in jail. This is. Anyway, God bless you. God bless you, Lowell. We'll talk to you soon, and you stay safe, my friend. Stay healthy. God bless you. Yes, sir.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora, because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY.